And now, In-Flight Entertainment is proud to present Marauder Radio.
Oh, you men are all alike. Seven or eight quick ones and you're off with the boys to boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon.
You may be right.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.
I may be crazy. But it just may be a lunatic you're looking for.
I don't have a problem.
Oh, okay. Good night.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of Marauder Radio, your lunatic lover and poet, Mr. Bob Zemaw.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and especially thank you. And hello, everybody, and welcome to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe. My name is Bob Zemaw, and this is Marauder Radio. Arg, mateys. It is pirate radio for mental wellness. And this is the Grumpy Gator Cafe. Glad you've chosen to join us here, excuse me, on the world's largest therapy couch at this time. Yeah. Get a little sip of coffee. Excuse me. Have a little tickle in my throat. Have a little tickle in my throat. Excuse me. Gosh. Not even 2 minutes in, and I'm already acting like the professional podcaster that I am. But anyways, want to welcome you all to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe for Marauder Radio. This is where we take a look at life and love through all sorts of things, right? We talk a lot about different psychological fitness skills, ways to find mental wellness, ways to improve your mental health. Because at the end of the day, you've got to ask yourself, do you have the skills? Do you have the skills to live mentally well? Do you have the skills to have a balanced life, right? Do you have the skills to help you find happiness and joy and all sorts of good stuff, man? Do you have the skills? Can you cope? Can you problem solve? Can you communicate relatively effectively? Or are those areas where perhaps you might want to take a look at some things? Perhaps you might want to, you know, just say, hey, Bob, this is not an area where I'm very good at. Because when you think about it, every day we cope, we problem solve, we communicate umpteen times. It's just one of those things that we're doing all of the time. Think about your day in, day out life. You're communicating with others. You're problem solving. Intrinsically, up here in the miraculous 3 pounds of gray matter that sits between your ears, you're problem solving. You're solving problems. Everything from, gosh, I'm hungry. I wonder what's in the fridge. You know, to other problems like who's going to get the kids after their practices. I'm busy. My wife's busy. What are we going to do? Oh, my goodness. You know, and then, you know, we cope. We deal with the bullshit of life. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. The bullshit of life. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. So you've got to ask yourself, do I have the mental wellness or the psychological fitness skills in order to live mentally well, right? Just like you probably have physical fitness skills. You might jog, you might hike, you might bike, you might row, you might do a wide range of things. You've learned how to be physically fit for your overall physical wellness. Same thing is here, same thing is true with mental wellness. We have to have psychological fitness skills. Is it any wonder our life is circling the drain? Is it any wonder we're so anxious? Is it any wonder we're so depressed? We lack the skills that we need to live mentally well. And those skills fall into two categories. One is a cranium rectum extraction. One, we have to get our head out of our ass. So much of our anxiety and depression, so much of our lack of mental wellness is due to poor, poor perception of things. We see things inaccurately. We see things without a full perspective, right? So what do I mean by that? What do I mean by we need a cranium rectum extraction? How you interpret the world, how you find meaning, how you perceive things is going to drive your emotional experience. Emotions are then expressed through behaviors. Many of us, when we look at our anxiety, we look at our depression, we have really bad coping skills. Coping skills are what we use the miraculous 3 pounds of gray matter. This is where we need a cranium rectum extraction. We need to get our head out of our ass. We need to quit navigating life through our navel. Quite honestly, when you have your head in your ass, it's a pretty dark, smelly place, and you can't see very well because you're kind of looking through your navel. Get your head out of your ass, a cranium rectum extraction. Start to perceive things in a healthier, much more effective way. Start to reduce that emotional intensity that you feel by changing the way in which you think, by changing the way in which you perceive the world around you, by changing the way you project, predict, and anticipate how things are going to go. Cranium rectum extraction. Number two is you got to get busy, folks. You got to get your ass off the couch. Once you get your head out of your ass, now it's time to get your ass off the couch and get busy. Do stuff. Get off the bench and onto the field or onto the ice or onto the what do they call it in soccer? The patch? No. I should probably look these things up. I want to say the switch, but that's not right. Get onto the field. Get onto the ice, man. Get out there. Get your ass off the couch and get out there and start living large. That's what we have to do. I'm going to invite my friend The Bobbies are coming up later, but I'm going to invite my friend, the fat guy in spandex, to come in and talk a little bit more about mental wellness.
Excuse me, what the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live, rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
You may be right. I may be crazy. Oh, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for.
Oh, you men are all alike. 7 or 8 quick ones and you're off with a boy. To boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Bob Zemo Radio Showgram is proud to present to you insights and commentary from a fat guy in spandex. Oh, good God.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Marauder Radio. My name is a fat guy in spandex, and I'm here to build upon what my friend Bob was talking about just a few minutes ago, man. He sure knows how to use his tongue, doesn't he? Man, he's a silver-tongued devil, that crazy Bob Zemo. Although a lot of you might not agree with that after he's coughing early on in the show, Graham. I mean, what the heck? I mean, come on, man. Be a professional here. You know, I don't want to be on some dumbass show that doesn't have any level of professionalism, for goodness sakes. Anyways, everybody, I'm a fat guy in spandex, and I'm here to talk to you about mental wellness and changes that are being made. You know, a lot of people will say change is good. I always say change is good. You go first, you know? I like sitting here. I like sitting here on the beach in my beach chair with the waves coming right up underneath my butt. Little drink in hand, right? Living a little beach life, so to speak. And living a little Zac Brown, right? I'm just hanging out, man, just hanging out, just relaxing, just chilling. So I don't, you know, if you want change, then you go first. I have no problem with that. You go first, right? Because when I'm sitting in my beach chair and I'm having the waves come up, you know, right over my feet, right under my butt in my little chair there, nice and cool, got my little drink in my hand. What do I have? I have sustainability. I have staying power. So often, you look around, you hear about all this, you know, self-help stuff that's going on, right? All these people, everybody's got a book, everybody's got a podcast, including me and that crazy guy, Bob Zima. But everybody is out there pitching something or another to help you improve the quality of your life, right? Oh, just do this cleanse. Oh, do these exercises. Oh, get into this really cool goat yoga thing. No, no, forget about goat yoga. We've got cat yoga. Come on over here and, you know, hey, listen to this book and here, use these love languages. And hey, if you know, if you do this every day, your marriage will be better. And we are just inundated, overrun by a lot of people out there telling you they know how to improve your life because they did it for themselves. Good for you. Just because it works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for me. Just because it worked for you and you wrote a book and you got a lot of bucks doesn't mean it's going to work for me. Like that eat, pray, love thing. Everybody got all gung-ho about eat, pray, love, and I could not figure out for the life of me why people were so inundated with this book. First of all, the author got a divorce and sold some property. And between the divorce and the property and everything, she had like almost $500K in the bank. Second, she was prepaid for the book, $1 million from her publisher. So quite honestly, people, I could do a lot of eating, I could do a lot of praying, and I could do a hell of a lot of loving. Because this fat guy in spandex is a lover, not a fighter. But I could have done a lot of loving on $1.5 million. It would be easy for me to get lost and disappear in various parts of this wonderful world for $1.5 million. On the other hand, if I'm bartending in some place, dating a waitress who's also working at the factory, bringing home, I don't know, $40,000 a year for two jobs, got 2 miles to feed, has rent, as a broken down car, it'll be really hard for her to eat, to pray, and to love, although the book was crazy. What I'm getting at, folks, is that true self-help is what you do for yourself, right? If you enjoy going for a walk and listening to this podcast, then for God's sakes, do it. If you like getting on your bike and listening to this podcast, then for God's sakes, do it. If you're like me and you like to sit in a chair on the edge of the ocean with a drink in your hand, listening to this podcast, just letting the waves wash over you, then for God's sakes, do it. Mental wellness will only work if you have sustainability. You have to have staying power. Reading this book, that book, this book, that book, going with that idea, this idea, oh, how about that idea, and switching it up all of the time. Changing horses 5 times in the race will get you nowhere but frustrated. And you'll have a stack of books. You'll have a bunch of podcasts. And you'll be stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, like driving in traffic in New York City. You're looking for sustainability. Quit doing what everybody else tells you worked for them. Start sitting down and figuring out what's going to work for you. What will drive consistent sustainability for you? I'm not talking about that high you get after listening to a podcast, listening to an idea, listening or reading a book and saying, oh my God, this is going to work for me. This is going to work. Oh my God, yes, this is going to work. This is exactly what I want. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. But if 3 weeks later, much like all of your New Year's resolutions, you've blown this idea and concept off, then there's no sustainability. If you and your wife both read Gary Chapman's book, which is a great book, and the love languages, and you're all hopped up on it and you're all excited about it in May, and by the 4th of July, neither one of you really give a crap about the languages or doing somebody's language or them doing what good was it? You're looking for sustainability, much like joining a health club or going to that church for the first time, or, you know, joining that bowling league. If after 4 weeks you're hemming and hawing about going, if after 4 weeks you're tired of it because the novelty is worn off, then what the hell good is it? When it comes to mental wellness, the psychological fitness skills that you use to create balance in your life, to create mental wellness, to create happiness and joy, to be able to deal with stress, all of those psychological fitness skills need to have sustainability. They need to have staying power. Otherwise, what good is it? It's a game of chutes and ladders. You get all excited for this new thing you heard on this new podcast or you read in this new book, and then 3 weeks later, you start sliding down the slide back to the starting line. When you're thinking about your own mental wellness, if you truly want to improve your mental wellness, if you want to live mentally well, if you want to have a balanced life, if you want to be able to enjoy the highs and manage yourself through the lows, then you have to find a set of psychological fitness skills that helps you sustain, that helps you get through the good times as well as the bad times. Whether it's walking or fishing or canoeing or hiking or canoe hiking or walk fishing, whether it's hockey games or baseball games, whether it's dinner every Friday night at a new restaurant, whether it's game night with the kids on Wednesdays, it's about sustainability. It's about staying power and consistency. If you do something consistent and you do it well for 3 weeks, research says it becomes a pattern. It becomes part of you. And once it becomes a pattern and once it becomes a part of you, then it is so much easier to live mentally well. It is so much easier to cope, to problem solve, to communicate. And as a couple, once the two of you agree to a consistent method that leverages the strengths you both bring to the table, that honors the story you both bring to the table, that really waves your freak flag, then you have sustainability. Then you have staying power. Now you have invented or put together a series of strategies using psychological fitness skills that are going to work for you. That might not work for your neighbor, your sister. In fact, individual coping, problem solving, and communication strategies and skill sets may work for you and not your spouse, and vice versa. When it comes to individual coping, problem solving, and communicating, use what works for you. When you come together with others, when you form a relationship, then you need to blend those styles together and compromise and support each other. But at the end of the day, finding good psychological fitness skills that become a strategy for you are about you understanding you, are about you knowing what works for you, about you doing what works for you, not because this person said or that person said or you heard it on Oprah or The View or whatever. It's because it works for you, because you have been able to give it a whirl, to give it a try. You have consistently used it for 3 weeks plus. You have consistently found benefit from it, and you add it to your repertoire. Because mental wellness is unique as you are. The psychological fitness skills that you need consistently in an effort to build sustainability, those psychological fitness skills are as unique as you. And when you put them together in a strategy, that's as unique as you too. So remember, people, change is good. But too much change, too frequently, is spinning your wheels, is rowing on one side of the canoe, going in circles. You're looking for sustainability. I'm a fat guy in spandex, and this is Marauder Radio, live from the Grumpy Gator Cafe.
All right, let's pray. God of Rock, thank you for this chance to kick ass. We are your humble servants. Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high-voltage rock. In your name we pray. Amen.
As long as there's, you know, sex and drugs, I can do without a rock and roll.
Marauder Radio, starring Bob Zima, Pirate King of the Hole in the Soul crew, will continue in just a moment.
What the hell are you doing in the bathroom day and night? Why don't you get out of there? Give someone else a chance.
Hey everybody, it's Bob Zima, and I just want to tell you about my brand new psychological masterpiece. That's right, I wrote a book, and it's called Toilet Therapy, Healing Anger.
Do not go in there.
Woo!
It's a crapper companion guide, and it's designed to help you remove the crap from your soul while you're, well, you know, doing your business in the library.
There is a tiger in the bathroom.
You can be the tiger in the bathroom that takes care of that roaring lion and tiger out in your real world. You'll spend hours and hours on the toilet with my crapper companion guide, learning how to heal your anger and improve the quality of your life.
Hot damn, son, I believe you did sell your soul to the devil.
Cruise on over to BobZima.com to get your copy of Toilet Therapy Healing Anger and start your healing process today.
Who does number two work for?
Don't get me wrong, he seems like a nice guy, but my father's a nice guy, and he's not funny either.
If this is some kind of practical joke, it's not funny.
Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
You're going to need a bigger potion.
The Bob Zima Show and Podcast will return in just a moment. Gentlemen, is your... Ladies and gentlemen, the Bob Zima Radio Showgram is proud to present to you a man of altering mind and thought, Mr. Bobby Catharsis. Get psychedelic, folks, and try to find a new way, a new idea, a new inspiration, a new innovation for how to manage the bullshit of life. Folks, Mr. Bobby Catharsis.
Hey, thank you, man. Hey, what a beautiful Sunday it is. Like, wow. The sun is out. The temperature is in the 70s. Although it does say it's humid here in the wonderful windy city of Chicago. Yeah, no wind here. But then again, of course, it's called the Windy City, not because of the atmospheric shifts and changes that happen, but because, man, of all of the politics, all of the hot air being blown around, the politics, the Windy City, the talkers, man. But if you're just sitting on the lakefront enjoying that beautiful view, I mean, holy cats, everybody. Hey, man, like I'm Bobby Catharsis, and it's really, really good to be here today on Marauder Radio. I want to talk about something that probably plagues many of you. It's the F word. Yep, a lot of us can really get effed, man. A lot of us at work, at home, on the bus, on the train, we can just get effing effed, man. And you know what I'm talking about. That F stands for frustration. Have you ever been effed, so effing effed? I mean, I'm sure you have. Getting effed is a natural and normal part of everyday life. When we become frustrated, whether it's with a person, a place, or a thing, right? If we get frustrated with our car because that valve stem or rim leak, man, it just like happens all the time. This happened to me, man, with the bus, man. My love bus. Yeah, didn't have a love bug, had a love bus. And every now and then I go out to drive the bus because I was going to go have some coffee with some friends. And sure enough, that rim leak, tire flat, had to, you know, limp it over to the air compressor and get it going again. We can get frustrated with things. We can get frustrated with places, right? Have you ever been frustrated, man, trying to get tickets for Wrigley Field? Or just frustrated with the fact that Wrigley Field is a beer garden with a $125 cover charge? Man, it's hard to get in there. Or we can be frustrated with people. It just happens. When we get frustrated with people, that can drive two kinds of behaviors through us. And those behaviors, man, they can like really psychedelically mess up your life. They can like just take your life, shake it up like it's in a box, turn it upside down, and then drop kick it over the fence. Frustration can trigger resentment, which of course is reflective. It's an internal kind of processing, man. It's like your brain thinking about why you're frustrated, all the hard work you've put into something only for it not to pan out. And that's resentment, man. And resentment is corrosive. It's toxic. Or the other thing where we project, it goes more outside of us. We project it, man. We get rid of it. Is obsession, right? When we're frustrated with a person, what are we, man? We're obsessive. Hey, you got to do this, dude. Hey, no, man, you got to do that. You got to do it this way. What are you doing, man? You're not doing it right. It becomes an obsession that's projected. Resentment is internal and reflective. Obsession is external and projected. When we're frustrated with a person, place, or thing, and we keep it inside, we build resentment, right? We get so effing effed, and we sit around going, why am I effing effed? Why am I so effing concerned with this person, this place, that thing? We just become frustrated because we're doing everything in our power to try to interact with this person, place, or thing. Within our connection, man, within our psychedelic, you know, roadway there, where we're trying to get our needs met and the person, the place, or the thing isn't cooperating. And we become resentful because we're thinking we're doing everything we need to do. We're hauling our share of the mail, man. We're doing everything we need to do to get our needs met, to make the relationship healthy. But the other person or place or thing, man, they're not cooperating. They're not meeting us in the middle. And that gets us so effing effed. And when we internalize it, we think about it, we ruminate on it, we focus on it, we start to feel resentment. And resentment, my friends, is toxic, corrosive. It just tears your soul apart. And it tears you apart. And resentment can lead to really ineffective and unhealthy choices and behaviors. We can yell, we can kick, we can scream, we can drink, we can drive. We get angry. When we're trying to project it, right, we're trying to get rid of this uncomfortable feeling. We want this F and F to just go away, man. We just want the F and F to leave. And so we're trying to get rid of it like, you know, like a bouncer throwing somebody out of a bar, man. You know what I'm talking about. And so we try to get rid of this F and F, and we project it out. We become obsessive. We tell the people in our lives what to do, how to do it, because we don't want to feel frustrated with them. We don't want to feel frustrated by their inability to get shit done, man. And what do? We become a raving a-hole, a real a-hole. We're so obsessed with getting our needs met. We're so frustrated because it's not happening that we become a raving a-hole. You know, I could go out to the bus. I could kick it. I could beat it. I could be real mad at the tire. I can throw my arms up in the air and be looking just like a complete and utter loon. I'm obsessed, man. I'm projecting it. You know what I mean? And I do that or can do that with people. Boy, oh boy. If that ain't going to destroy your relationship faster than I don't know what. But that's going to destroy your relationship for sure, man. That's going to just blow it up. And at the end of the day, when we're F and F'd, we've got two places to go. We go inward and we develop resentment. And resentment destroys us and anything it touches. It truly is the cancer of mental wellness, resentment. Or we project it out. We try to get rid of it. And we become obsessive. And we become the world's largest a-hole.
The Bob Zima Show and Podcast will return in just a moment.
Gentlemen, is your testicular sac starting to look old and worn? Is your nut hammock not as smooth as it used to be? Does it feel like sandpaper when you stroke your scrotum while watching sports in bed? Is the ball sack wrinkled to the point that your woman wants absolutely nothing to do with it anymore? Then you need to try and apply Bob's Big Ball Balm, guaranteed to smooth out the rough edges of any family jewel chalice, with no rubbing and no buffing. Bob's Big Ball Balm will restore the shine and gloss to any worn and beaten down scrotum. Bob's Big Ball Balm is not a wax. It's a space-age polymer formula. Look, we polished these balls and kept them in a pair of underwear for 50 consecutive days. And look, the finish on this scrotum still looks shiny and glossy. Gentlemen, try Bob's Big Ball Balm today.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
And there's a carnival-like atmosphere here tonight. The crowd is gathered, and, well, you can feel it.
Eddie Shore?
Oh, it's on Eddie Shore.
Old-time hockey?
It's on old-time hockey. You're ruining it.
Have a nice day.
I'm telling you, he jumped it.
Sure did. Yeah.
I mean, gloves off, stick down, no warning. He challenged the Chiefs.
Call his name.
Call his name!
The toughest team in the Federal League. Not this. But,
they are just a bunch of fancies.
Everybody is just on their feet screaming, kill, 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 this is hockey.
We could all land in the clinker for this.
Performance tonight has got to be a bitter disappointment to these 4,000-odd Charlestown fans who have packed this war memorial, paying good money to witness this fiasco.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Bob Zima Radio Showgram is proud to present to you the insights, thoughts, and commentary of Mr. Bobby Redneck.
Guitar steel. If you think I won't, then believe me, I will. Get down on you, baby, 'cause I ain't no rookie. I was put in a part and I was born to boogie.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for a very interesting, very intoxicating, very exciting. Oh, for goodness sake, it's a simple redneck country guy. Folks, this guy's got some interesting thoughts, ideas, and concepts on how to deal with the bullshit of life. Let's not waste any more time. Let's bring to the radio microphone Mr. Bobby Redneck.
Oh, my goodness, y'all. I really love that opener there that Bob Zima's created for me. How you doing, everybody? I'm Bobby Redneck, and I want to talk to you about journaling. Y'all ever journal? I mean, you hear therapists and counselors and social workers and psychologists and psychiatrists always say, hey, journal. If you've ever been in a partial hospitalization program or you ever been in a hospital for a mental health issue, they'll have you journal. I tell you about journaling, journaling, journal, journal, journal. It's great. It's great. Yeah, you know what? I don't have a lot of time to journal. If I ain't out riding a bull or driving a tractor, you know, I'm roping. I got a lot of work out in the field. I got a lot of work in the pan. I don't have time to journal. How am I supposed to journal when I'm riding on the back of a boat? How am I supposed to journal when I'm inside the tractor? I barely, you know, I got to use my two hands for the implements and for driving. I don't have time to journal. By the time I get in, I want to sit down, have myself a nice little beer, and relax after a hard, tough day. The last thing I want to do is grab my spiral notebook and start journaling. However, if you are a journaler, that's good for you. A lot of people find a lot of benefit, y'all, by sitting down and writing down their thoughts, right? I tried it. I'll be honest with you. I did. My therapist told me, you got to start journaling your thoughts there, Bobby. So I went fly fishing one day and went down to the creek, you know, started to fly fish, and I take a break, and I pull out my spiral notebook, and I start writing down my thoughts. And I have to admit, it was okay. It was good. It worked for me. You know, it may work for you. And you know, I think kind of like what a fat guy in spandex was saying is that, you know, y'all got to find the things that work for you. You can't just do what works for somebody else and expect it going to be working for you. That is the definition of insanity, y'all. So what I did is I said, you know, I got to figure out this journaling because I do enjoy getting my thoughts out of my head. As my therapist said, you know, get them out of the barn. Get them out of the barn and into the pasture. They can enjoy the fresh air, the sunshine. Get your thoughts out. And so I started to think about that. And then one day I realized when I was on a tractor and somebody gave me a call on the cell phone and I could just hit my hands-free button, I could talk, drive, plow, harvest, all at the same time. And so then I realized, well, wait a minute. Why don't I just, you know, take a left turn here? Why don't I try something new? Instead of working so hard, why don't I work smart? And I thought, I'm going to audio journal. So I got a recorder, went down to the store. It used to be a Radio Shack, and now it's just an electronics store. Sell all sorts of stuff there. Microwaves, refrigerators, VCRs. I'm surprised people still have VCRs in this day and age. And I got an old recorder. Old audio recorder. Somebody had said, hey, just use your phone. But quite honestly, I didn't want all my thoughts going up to the cloud. You know what I mean? So I got an old recorder and I put it in the tractor. And when I'm driving and plowing and harvesting, I audio journal. I just start talking about what's on my mind. And I audio journal. And sometimes I can take this into my therapist's office and we can sit there and listen to it. I thought this was a really good idea. I thought this was very, very creative, quite honestly. If I do say so myself, if I can pat myself on the back and show you my good, you know, my buckle, I'm going to give myself a buckle for winning this go-round. But I started to think, you know, if writing is getting my thoughts out, if writing was not necessarily working for me, if I was struggling at getting it to work for me, I didn't want to give up on the idea, y'all, of my therapist saying, get your thoughts out of the barn, man. Get them out of your head. Get them into the pasture. Put sunlight on them. fresh air. And I thought, okay, that you know what, that analogy works for me, but I just couldn't get her done. Look, right. Just didn't have time and energy. But then I found this audio idea and I thought, I'm going to audio journal. And it became a really good way for me to get my thoughts out. And it really helped me improve my mood, really helped me be able to, manage a little bit better. Even when I was getting frustrated in the tractor there, I could talk about being frustrated or, you know, I could talk about what things that were concerning me, right? Things that were worrying me. And so therefore I was getting them out, like the therapist said, out in the pasture, and I wasn't harboring anything. I wasn't getting resentful. I didn't come back in and yell at my loved ones. I didn't come back in and, you know, be all angry and stuff like I used to be. And so one thing I want you to all consider is that if you enjoy journaling, but writing, you know, maybe the other thing for me was that my mind works a lot faster than my hand, you know, I just couldn't write fast enough. And so speaking does a lot of wonders for me. So, you know, kind of just twist it a little bit, find another solution, be creative, improvise, adapt, overcome is what I think is key here. And so what I want to encourage you is that if there's something you think is going to work for you, if there's something out there that is going to help you find mental wellness, but it's not a perfect fit, well, shift it, twist it, see what you can do to make it work for you. I'm Bobby Redneck, and this is Marauder Radio. Thanks for listening.
In 6 miles to Chicago, we got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Don't drive angry, man. Don't drive angry.
Oh, righty then.
You're listening to Marauder Radio with your host, the pirate king of the hole in the soul crew, Mr. Bob Zima.
Mr. Bob is calm down here. Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jesus, God! Help me, Allah!
Hi, everybody. It's Bob Zima, and I want to tell you about my healing video, Grief is Like a Vacuum, It Sucks, that is available on Amazon's instant video store. Here's what it's all about.
You know, grief is like a vacuum, because it sucks. We sense when a storm is coming. Nobody wants to be known as a griever. We know when a storm is coming. We do everything in our life to avoid grief. And sometimes we just stay out in the rain. We go out of our way to avoid the pain of loss and the process of grief. And get out of the rain and get out of the storm and find that shelter and that hope.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
First and foremost, grief. The thing we all dread, the thing we all try to stay away from, is a healing process. This video is designed to help you develop your own unique style and process of grieving. It's about you discovering how you heal. This video is going to challenge you to find the grieving processes and the coping techniques that are going to work best for you.
You can buy my video or simply rent it via the Amazon Instant Video Store, and it's just a couple of bucks. Hey, for a couple of dollars, will you start your healing today? Cruise on over to BobZima.com to find out how you can download or purchase Grief is Like a Vacuum, It Sucks.
Ready, ready, ready!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Bob Zemo Radio Showground is proud to present Pastor Bobby Salvation.
Oh, yeah. In nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sanctus, Playboy. Hello, everybody. Bobby Salvation, your pastor of disaster, with you live here on Marauder Radio for Mental Wellness Live. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about self-concept. That's right, my brothers and sisters. The Lord your God gave you a self-concept. This is your own evaluation of yourself. This is self-esteem, self-assuredness, self-confidence, self-advocacy, all the selves, people. All the self stuff makes your self-concept. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen, please? All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Get down and get back up again. Amen, my brothers and sisters. And so when we have self-concept, when we have a healthy, effective, and efficient perception of ourselves, our skills, our abilities, our dreams, our talents, our wants. When we look at ourselves as a whole and we see the good skills we've got, the talents, we have the dreams and the hopes and the aspirations, and we are kind to ourselves and we support ourselves and we have faith that our skills and our talents and our abilities will help us reach our goals. When we have that faith and belief in ourselves, we have a healthy and effective self-concept. When we doubt our skills, we doubt our abilities, we doubt that something's going to happen, we begin to destroy our self-concept. We begin to destroy our self-confidence, our self-assuredness, our self-esteem, our self-advocacy. Don't get me wrong, my brothers and sisters. Don't let some snake in the garden fool you. There is no one on this planet that can injure or hurt yourself. Esteem, your self-concept, your self-confidence, your self-assuredness. No one can hurt any of the selves except for you because it's all internal. Now, sure, are there bullies out there? Are there people who bully you? Are there people who doubt you? Are there people who don't have faith in you? Absolutely, unless you agree with them and unless you feel they're right. They can't impact your self-concept. They can't hurt your self-esteem. People with self-esteem issues, it's really a self-concept issue because all those bullies out there, all those naysayers, all those haters, whatever they're saying, you believe in one way or another, you buy into it. And because you buy into it, because you doubt your skills, your ability, you doubt your dreams, others are picking up on that and they're throwing it back in your face and it is affecting your self-concept. Think of my friend Peter when he was in the boat and Jesus comes walking on the water and Jesus says to Peter, Peter, get out of the boat and come to me. And Peter's like, hello, yeah, I don't think I can do that. And Jesus says, Peter, get out of the boat and come to me. Peter believes, he has faith, self-confidence, self-assuredness, stands up, which is risk number one. If you've ever been in a boat, risk number one, he stands up. He steps out of the boat, risk number two. So far, he's doing pretty well. He's got faith. He's got confidence in himself. He has good self-esteem. It's healthy. It's effective. It's efficient. He gets up. He gets out of the boat. Two big risks. Then he starts to walk towards Jesus. And what happens? He loses all faith in himself, in his ability. He loses all faith in his connection, his relationship with Jesus. And what happens? Whoop! Right down he goes. Jesus reaches him, grabs him, and pulls him up above the water so he don't drown. When we fail to have faith in ourselves, in our abilities, in our talents, when we fail to have faith in the connections we have created to help us get our needs met, we cannot walk on water. We may have enough self-assuredness, enough self-confidence to get up and get out of the boat. But when it comes down to putting our money where our mouth is, where the rubber hits the road, when it gets real and we need to walk on water, when we lose faith in ourselves, in our ability, in our talents, in our goals, in our future, whoop, right down. We lose faith in the relationships we have created, whoop, right down. That's what happened to Peter. He lost perception of his goal. He doubted his own ability. He doubted the connection and the relationship he had with Jesus. Amen. And he went right down. When you want to walk on water and can't, it's self-concept. It's about you believing in yourself. It's about you believing in your skills and your talents. It's about you believing in the connections you have put in place to help you get those needs met, to help you fulfill those dreams. And when you fail to believe in those things. Believe in yourself. It's your self-concept that gets hurt. It's your self-esteem, your self-confidence, your self-assuredness, your self-advocacy. They go right out the window or right down to the bottom of the lake. So the next time you are feeling a little woe is you and intrinsically you're doubting, change it to faith in yourself and your life will change dramatically.
Time for me to fly.
Here's done. I'm needed elsewhere now. I'm needed wherever outlaws rule the West, wherever innocent women and children are afraid to walk the streets, wherever a man cannot live in simple dignity, and wherever a people cry out for justice.
Bullshit!